Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Sunday school this morning. Shall we rise on our feet? As we bow our heads this morning for an opening prayer, Lord Jesus, we come before your throne of mercy again this morning. For another opportunity you've given unto us, we want to say thank you, God. I want to thank you for the past week. Thank you for making it possible for us to see today the beginning of a new week. I want to entrust our life into your hands, Heavenly Father. As we've come to your presence, we've not come to meet with ourselves, but we've come to meet with you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, anything that will stand as an obstacle on the blessings that you've ordained for us this morning, we bring under the blood, O God. May you take preeminence of this Sunday school. May you bring your children their numbers. May you speak unto us, O God. Grant it, Heavenly Father, as we hand over the Sunday school to your hands, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. I'm going to continue from where I stopped the last time. I'm still speaking about marriage and divorce. Matthew, chapter 19. We will start from the first verse. The Bible said, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these things, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the twin shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso married her which is put away, doth commit adultery. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You can please be seated. In continuation of this topic on marriage and divorce, the last time we stopped speaking about courtship, and I was talking about one of the statements the prophet made when he spoke. He said, don't marry beauty, marry character. He said, over the years, we've heard that. But I felt upon my heart to talk a little bit about character. And that was where we stopped the last time. I said, just to take us back a little bit so that we could pick it up from there, I said that I brought it down to two parts you can place character. I talked about the moral character that you can get maybe through upbringing, religion, or religious upbringing, maybe family. And I also said something about the Holy Ghost character. And I want us to say this morning that the moral character is not what the prophet was talking about. And we could find that also when he was talking in the sermon, Stature of a Perfect Man, Brother Brown made it clear that there are people that are born naturally with all these virtues. And he said, that's not what we're talking about. So the same applies here. Now, I'm not going to go back into the moral character. Now I'm going to pick it right there from the Holy Ghost character, and we go from there. We find in the sermon, Marriage and Divorce, the prophet said, not pretty, but character. He said, God looks at character. Man looks at natural beauty. And he went further and said, it is deceiving. Natural beauty is deceiving. So that's why a woman was given that beauty for deception, to deceive. A beautiful woman, if she don't use it in the right way, it's a curse to her. That will send her to hell quicker than anything else I know of. If she just, she could be pretty, sure, as long as she stays with her husband and does what's right, that's fine and dandy. But she can take that same thing, and my, how she can deceive with it, for it was given to her to do so. So notice now, but God is featured in character. So there was no beauty we should desire Jesus, but there never was character like him on earth. And now, let's talking about what kind of spiritual character that God is looking for in a bride or coming for. He said in the sermon identification, he said the word, that is the word of God, molds God's character to us. I hope you get that. God's word molds God's character to us. And anything that tries to be mixed with that character breaks the mold. God's word molds God's character in our life. And anything outside God's word that tries to mix itself with that character, it breaks the mold. He said, you can't mix creed with the word. You can't mix the word with the word. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon means the world. You can't be one and the other at the same time. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. He said, is that true? He said, you can't mix oil and water. It just will not mix. You can't churn it up and down, do anything you want to. It will mix. Now, coming to character, he said, your character, which is God-given character, will not mix with the world. A God-given character will not mix with the world if you are being molded in the form of God. Please watch all this, because as we go on, I'm going to say some things that if you understand this, you will understand what I'm going to say later. You see, if your character is being molded by God, you cannot mix it with the world. He said, now, your character will not mix with the world if you are being molded in the form of God by letting the mind that was in Christ be in you. That is the control tower. That is the direction. And he went further. He said, now, let's look into God's mirror, his word, and identify our present character by some Bible character. He said, we'll close just in a few minutes now. He said, identify ourselves. This is the mirror. God's word is the mirror. Each and every one of us, I believe, when you got dressed this morning, you looked at yourself in the mirror. And you put a seal to say, yes, I look good. I can go out like this. You see, the same thing, the word of God is the mirror that we need to look at ourselves by. No one excluded. He said, no, this is the mirror that you want to do like that little boy did. Look into it. Let's look into this and see if we can see ourselves reflected by some Bible character. He said, now, you can judge. That won't make nobody judge you. You judge yourself. Amen. Are you getting me? Amen. You judge yourself by the word of God. Nobody is judging. I'm not passing judgment. But let's just reflect. See how it reflects from some characters in the Bible. Now, in Samuel's sudden secret going away of the church, here comes the prophet made this statement. You might have the name of the church. You might have the name of Braham Tabernacle or Methodist or whatever church you go. That isn't it, friends. Amen. It's something different. Yeah. So it's not the name of the church you go. It's something more than that. Amen. It's your character that God is looking at. Amen. You might be Methodist. You might be Baptist. You might be Presbyterian. It's not that. it's character that God looks at, not just earthly character, but Holy Spirit character. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, in the Sermon Absolute, here he says, a man would let his wife go out and run around all night with some drunk, come in next morning, say, yeah, there, I hope you had a nice time. You are a poor excuse of a man. Right. Any man that will let his wife get out there and wear shorts and do this little old bathing suits, bikinis or whatever it is, and lay out among these people, I got little hopes of you even being a man. Amen. A man is not measured by how much his biceps are. Right. A man is not measured by his six-pack. Amen. How big his muscle is. A man is measured by character. Amen. You see, you keep talking about character here. So I'm trying to lay that as a foundation who will go ahead in this Sunday school. He said, that's exactly right. And character, where does it come from? Where do you get, where is the store you can buy character from? He said, and character comes from the word of God, and that alone. True character comes from God's word, and that alone. And any preacher that claims to be a preacher and deny that word, there's little character of God there to me. Maybe some hope if you will listen a while. Now, I don't want to get critical with you. I love you and I mean that. But that's my absolute brethren. This word, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Let me go forward a little bit here. Now, in his sermon, End Time Evangelism, Brother Branham said, God is looking for character, not membership. He said, character. Eliezer, when he went to get a bride for Isaac, he sweated it out until he found character. He said, remember, Abraham put him responsible as God put us responsible. And he said, we ministers hunt my bride. Amen. So you see why it's a big responsibility on the shoulders of the ministers to carry this truth without compromising, amen, without trying to spare feelings. It's not the intention of any true servant of God to hurt feelings. But the intention is to put the word of God out there. Amen. But the word of God itself told us that the word is a two-edged sword. A sword is not a toy. Are you getting me? A sword is dangerous. So the word of God, it cuts both going and coming. It doesn't leave room for the minister as it's cutting the audience. Two-edged, right? It's coming back. It's cutting the minister too. Is so that all of us will line up. Amen. So that we can be that bride of Christ with character. Amen. You see, I'm not looking for members. I'm looking for the pure in heart. Somebody that will believe the word. You see, Eliezer looked and he thought, oh, I can't do this myself. There's too much responsibility. I realize responsibility of finding Isaac, which is type of the church. You know Christ, Rebecca, the type of the bride. And Eliezer got down on his knees and said, God, you just have to help me. And when he referred to God, God helped him. Amen. Why? Why did he refer to God? Because he got character. Amen. Are you getting me, church? Amen. In the time of end time evangelism, he said, come back to the word, brother. Come back to God. Don't pay any attention to this church you belong to. You can stay there if you want to, if they will let you. But the thing to do first is come to God. That's right. This is the end time evangelism. Character. And when he found out, and when Eliezer found the character that was in the woman, Rebecca, the beautiful bride of Isaac, he told her about Isaac. And she never questioned one thing. Amen. Watch the character in Rebecca. Right. She never questioned one thing. She believed the word of the messenger and she made ready to go. And they went, asked the father, and he said, just ask her, the damsels of age, ask her, let her decide. And when they asked her, she said, I will go. To what? A man she had never seen, know nothing about, but yet she was ready because she was predestinated and foreordained to that. Amen. Now, but Abraham went further. He said, God has always counted character, not members. And today we do vice versa. We count members, good dress, well pairs, instead of character. Eliezer sweated it out until he found character. He said, that's right. Who would he get? Who did he depend on? God. Character for what? Character for Isaac. The bride, which the church is type of, you know that. That was a natural seed of Abraham. This is the royal seed of Abraham. Well, if Eliezer, the messenger hunting the bride and trying to find character, if that man is come, a messenger of the last day trying to find the bride for Christ, he will not look for denominational membership. He will look for character that is willing. Good character first, then get ready to meet Isaac. And he found that character. Then get her stand still long enough to listen to the message of Isaac. In the Samos Minor Church age, just follow me, wonder what is he doing this morning? We are talking about character. Amen. So I'm trying to lay that foundation and I will build on it. He said, think of it not strange concerning the fairy darts that to try you. That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? He said, no, sir. And we all have trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. No one but goes through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. And Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, speaking in Smyrna church, he said, now this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. There is no age free of it. There is no true believer free of it. This is of God. Amen. This is the will of God. Amen. It is needful. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Amen. Love suffereth long and it's kind. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, having laid that foundation, seeing what the prophet said about character, let's bring it now to the topic we are talking about. What is that Christian character as a young man, as a man that wants to get married? What are you looking for? There are many things we could talk about, but I'm going to pinpoint it as time is going to take us. In the sermon, Choosing of a Bride, let me start with that. Brother Abraham said this, and I hope you follow me. It's pretty long reading, but follow me. He said here, I've married many couples, but it always reminds me of Christ and his bride. One of the weddings that I performed here some time ago, it was quite an outstanding thing in my life. It's been several years ago when I was just a young minister. He said, my brother was working on the PWA. I don't know whether anybody ever remembers that yet or not. Anybody as old as me. And that was a project that the government had. And my brother walked up about 30 miles and they were digging out some lakes, a project for the conservation. And there was a boy walked up there with him. And he said, where he was about 100 miles from Jeffersonville, where I lived. And he said to my brother, one day, he said, Doc, I'm going to get married if I just had enough money to pay the preacher. He said, I got enough money to get my license, but I haven't got enough money to pay the preacher. Doc said, well, my brother is a preacher, and he may marry you. He never charges people for things like that. He said, will you ask him if he will marry me? Well, that night, my brother asked me. I said, if he's never been married before, either one of them, and everything is all right, he said, well, yeah, I'll ask him. And I said, if it is, tell him, come on down. Are you following the story?
Yeah.
No. So when on Saturday come along, and the boy came down, being a great thing for me to always look back upon this raining afternoon, an old Chevy car with the headlights wired with a belling wire drove up out front just a little while after I lost my wife. And I was back in two little rooms, and Doc was up there with me waiting for them. And the boy got out of his car, and he certainly didn't look like a groom to me. Or would to anybody, I guess. I could buy a pretty good pair of shoes for $1.50, and he had on a pair that was run over. His trousers were real baggy, and he had on one of those old moleskin jackets. I don't guess some of you older people will remember. It looked like it had run through a washing machine without being rinsed, and a string tied up like this, and the corner up. Watch the explanation. The prophet is going to something. Okay, so he's trying to explain to you how this man looked and was coming to get married. And little lady got out on the side with some little checkered look dress. I don't know. I made a mistake on calling that kind of goods one time. I believe I called it something. I said, wrong name. I'm always doing that. So she got out of the car and they come up the steps. And when they walked in, the poor little thing, all she had on was like a skirt, and she didn't have no shoes hardly on. She had hitchhiked from Indianapolis down, had a little hair hanging down her back, in long kind of plaits down her back, looked very young. And I said to her, are you old enough to get married? You know, remember how the prophet got to know these people?
Yes.
Okay? He didn't really know them. There was someone, the brother spoke to him about them, and he said, if they've not been married, come on, I'll marry them. So he was expecting some nice, you know, wedding, you have to look nice and that kind of a thing. He was expecting some, but he saw this young man coming and see the description he gave of him. He saw the lady coming, man. So he was like, so he asked her, are you old enough to get married? And she said, yes, sir. And she said, I have my written permission from my father and mother. He said, I had to show it to the court here to get my license. He said, all right. I said, I would like to talk to you a little bit before we perform the wedding. They sat down. The boy kept looking around the room. Needed the haircut real bad. Even on his own wedding day, he didn't have a good haircut on. Needed the haircut real bad. And he kept looking around the room. He wasn't listening to me. I said, son, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. He said, yes, sir. And I said, do you love this girl? We are getting down now. Watch very closely now. Said, do you love this girl? He said, yes, sir, I do. I said, you love him? Yes, sir, I do. I said, now, have you got a place to take her after you marry her? He said, yes, sir. I said, all right, now, I want to ask you something. I understand you are working up here at the PWA. He said, yes, sir. That's about $12 a week. I said, you think you can make a living for her? He said, I'll do all I can do. And I said, well, that's all right. I said, now, what if he gets out? What if he loses his job, sister? What are you going to do? Going to run back home to Papa and Mama? She said, no, sir. I'm going to stay with him. Amen. Like I've always said, in time past, let us teach our children. And I hope we are learning from this. Look at the question that the prophet is throwing across. These are reality. These are things that can happen in life. If he loses his job and he goes out there, tries, and doesn't get anything, what are you going to do? Are you going to run back to Papa and Mama? She said, no, sir. I'm going to stay with him. I said, what? He said, sir, if you have 3 or 4 children, nothing to feed them, and you haven't got any work, what are you going to do? Send her away? He said, no, sir. I will struggle right on. We'll make it some way.
Amen.
We need to teach our boys responsibility.
Amen.
We need to teach them that as a man, you have to fend for the family. Even when things are not going the way you want them to go, you don't stay back home and play video games.
Amen.
The prophet said, I felt little.
Yes.
And I've seen that he really loved her. And they loved one another. I married them. Now, you see that story? Very poor. They didn't have nice dresses on. No suits worn. He couldn't even have his hair cut on. The lady barely had shoes on our wedding day. You see how poor they are?
Amen.
Then I wondered where he taking her. A few days, I asked my brother, Doug, where is it? He said, go down New Albany, a little city below us. And down on the river, where I had some tin laying up. I went there every day. I was a lineman. Let me skip a little because of time. Then he went further. He said about 6 months before that, I married Evie Kite's daughter to E.T. Sider's son. He said, Evie Kite, one of the richest men there is in the Ohio River, runs the great factories through there, making these prefab houses and so forth. And Slider, E.T., is the sand and gravel company, millionaire children, and I had married them. And I went back in a place, practiced it, this is prep up for the wedding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first couple came to his house just like that.
Right.
But this couple, he had to go to a place for about 2 weeks to practice for the wedding. Remember, he is not in the train, he is to join them. But he had to practice for the wedding.
Yeah.
Practice for it for about 2 weeks, going back in the booth, kneeling on the pillow, and all the pomp and everything I ever went through, nearly had to go through to marry that couple. And when they came out, why? This other little couple just stood in a little old room where we had a little couch and a folded bed, but they both were married by the same ceremony.
Amen.
Are you getting that? Both the one that came into his living room and the one that he had to go somewhere to practice 2 weeks, the same ceremony. And then one day I thought, I'll go down and visit this rich couple. They didn't have to work. Their fathers were millionaires, had built them nice home. Frankly, this evening night up there on the hill is dog knob. You know what a dog knob is? His door knob was 14 carats.
Yes.
The door knob was 14 carats on this big palace. So you can imagine what kind of a home they live in. If the door knob alone was 14 carats, so imagine what the home looked like. They didn't have to work. They had a nice Cadillac gift to them every year. And just only children. And they had just everything they wanted. While I walked in up there one day, give me a few. I'm trying to skip here because of time. Okay, yeah. Now, how I got acquainted with them, one of their friends was a good friend of mine. We were all kind of chum together. And that's how I got acquainted. when they want, and now they wanted me to marry them. So I went up to visit them. I got outside my old Ford, outside, and walked up the steps. And I got up a little bit too close, and I heard them. Now he went and visited this rich couple that he married. And as he walked close, he said he could hear them. They were really fusing. They were jealous of one another. They had been to a dance. She was a very pretty girl, and she was kind of one of these beauty queens. She took many prizes around there and won some cars and things for being beauty queen. And I looked at them, and one was sitting in one corner, and one or the other fusing about some boy she has danced with, or some girl or something. And when I come up, they jump up real quick. You know, when he got there and they realized it was Brother Abraham, they jumped up real quick, grabbed one another across the floor, and their hands right across the floor, walking towards the door. Hello, Brother Abraham. How are you doing? I said, all right. How are you all getting along? Oh, he said, we are very happy, aren't we, honey? And I said, yes, dear. Now you could see they were putting on something that wasn't real. No, I hope you get this, church. You could see they were putting on something that wasn't real. Now you can't get warm by a painted fire. Like some of these churches trying to paint of Pentecost or something that happened 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. You cannot get warm by a fire that's painted. But Pentecost is not a painted fire. Pentecost is just as real today as it was then. You say, yeah, the fire is still falling. It isn't a painted fire. It's real fire. And now, he said, that is what he saw about that couple. And then he decided to go and check this other couple, this poor couple that he married. He decided to go and check them. He said, now, and so I was to see how they were getting along. I slept along the side real easy. I heard him say, oh, honey, I wanted to get that for you real bad. Really, before then, he was explaining how their house was. A box house. Yeah. Are you getting me? And there were kind of cracks on the wall. But he could slip into those cracks and look inside. He saw them having a nice time. They were talking. See, I could see him. They were getting along. And I slipped across the side real easy. I heard him say, oh, honey, I wanted to get that for you so bad. He said, now look, sweetheart. Say, this dress is all right. Why? This is just fine. He said, I appreciate that. He said, I slipped around so I could look in through the crack. He said, where the door had been shoved open in the box car. And there he was, sitting in there with her on his lap. Amen. Talk about love. Amen. So money is not what brings love. I hope you are following me this morning. Amen. Money is not what brings love. That is why the prophet said you have to look for character. Amen. And not beauty. Amen. Many people today look for beauty. Some people look for money. See the kind of, what kind of car is the brother driving? What kind of clothes does he put on? How much is in his bank account? If that is what you're looking for, trust me, one day all those will pass away. Amen. He had her on his lap and his arms around her, a arm around him. And he had one of those old slab hats and had put a little hole, mashed it down the top, and pulled out his paycheck. Pulled out his paycheck. He wasn't hiding his.
Amen.
Some couples. Some husbands can't even let their wife know how much they make. I know I'm treading on sore areas.
Amen. Go ahead.
The pastor signed you, so God bless you.
Amen.
It's one family.
Amen.
You shouldn't have secrets between each other.
Amen.
Look at this man here. Pulled out his paycheck. Honey, this is all I made. He said, And he was laying it out on the table, and they begin to plan on it. So much for groceries. So much for insurance. You see, this is where me, I don't understand sometimes. Maybe I should keep this to myself. Let me go ahead. So much on car, and they couldn't even make ends meet. Come to find out, he has seen a little dress up there in the window, been looking at it for a couple weeks. It cost $1 and something. He wanted to get it for her. Well, honey, you look so pretty in it. He said, but honey, I got a dress. I don't really need it. That little queen. Paul said, I backed off and I looked up. Yeah. You know, he has seen these two couples now. Right. And I backed off and I looked up. I could see the steeple on top of the other house. I stood there and looked for a few minutes. I thought, who is the rich man now? Who is the rich man now? The one with a lot of money? Every year, Cadillac is being changed. Bank account is full. But no joy and happiness in the house. Or one that doesn't have financial money? But there's joy at home. There's happiness at home. You cannot trade happiness for any other thing. That is why when you are trying to get married, don't look at physical things. The first priority, I pray we get to that quote, is right here. Your priority is, he a Christian? Do I love him? Amen. We're talking about character here, church. Not his money, not his car. All those things are material things that can be gone like this. They can be gone like this. He can be driving a Cadillac today, and tomorrow he'll be on the train. If you marry the Cadillac, where is your love then? I backed off and I looked up. I could see the steeple top under the house. And I stood there and looked. Few minutes, I thought, who is the rich man? I thought, if Bill Graham, if you want to take which place, where would you go? For me? I will not take that pretty thing up on top of the hill. I will take this character down here. A real homemaker. Amen. We are talking about character that's fit for wife. Watch those words. A real homemaker. Amen. Not every woman is a homemaker. Right. Sisters, don't be upset. Because I got some for the brothers too. So don't just think it's just for you. No. Our sisters have things they need to do. Brothers also have things. Amen. God helping on this Sunday school, we go through all. Amen. A real homemaker. Somebody that loved me and stayed with me in sickness and in health. Amen. When the paycheck is coming and when it's not. Amen. Somebody tried to make a home and not bleeding you for everything. You can find that in the choosing of a bride. Not bleeding you for everything, for fineries, and somebody that was with you, part of you. And the prophet went further. And he said, that always stuck with me on how that was. One choose a beautiful girl, the other choose character. Now, that's the only way you could choose. That is the only way you could choose. Say, first, look at character. And then if you love her, fine. In the Simon expressions, he said, all these years of happy marriage was an expression of our loyalty as a wife to make a home for her husband and children. So, brothers, when you are looking, what are you looking for? That expressed itself through the hard times when the little fellows around the table and hard going and the mother. It takes a mother to know how to put things together, to make it last when little hungry mouths are around the table. Not just everybody can do that. It takes a mother. But stand by her husband, loyal, stand by her children, is an expression of genuine loyalty. In the salmon life, I hope you are picking up from what I'm saying. In the salmon life, he said, I like to hunt. I guess you see my face blowed up. I always wanted a weather magnum. Say someone, some precious. I couldn't let no one, I couldn't afford it. I won't let anyone get it for me. You see, because it's too expensive. There's a man sitting right here now would have bought me one. I couldn't afford to let him do that when I got missionary friends with no shoes on. I couldn't do that. Can't think of it. That's the reason I tried to give these pancakes to somebody this morning. I know what hunger is. I know what them people over there are suffering. I can't see wasteful things. Right. When you know that brothers that believe the same thing that I believe are over there on that difficulty. Amen. We need to teach our children not to be wasteful.
That's right.
Amen. Because we are surrounded with plenty, we tend to forget that there are people somewhere that don't have to eat. We need to teach our children not to be wasteful. In the sermon, proving his word, he said, I just had a little experience here about a week ago. As you all know, I hunt. And when I come back from my meetings, I've been lion hunting. And after I move into Arizona, it's good. I like to hunt big games. And I like to get out amongst nature and watch it. Now, I'm not a killer. I just hunt. I don't like to destroy game. I don't think it's right. I think it's just as much sin to kill game when you are not using it or going to use it for a purpose as it will be killing anything else. I believe it's wrong. We shouldn't do that. God gave it to us for food and for purposes, and we should not destroy it. But now, what the Lord says you can take, all right, just don't waste it. In the sermon, hear ye him. Now, our Lord Jesus, as we are speaking of him, I love to read after him because he never made one mistake. Everything he done was perfectly in harmony with God. How much time that we waste as we leisure around. But you never find Jesus at no time ever what we call gadling around. Every move, every place he went, everything he did, every word he spoke had a meaning to it. And was exactly in harmony with God and the will of God. That's the reason that he was so pleased with him, saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Another good character in a woman to marry. But Abraham in the time of faith is a substance. He says, as I was saying about the little home, wife and two children, I'd love to be with them tonight. Just about now, it's 11 o'clock. That faithful little one's on her knees praying for me. On that good character is a good wife that will be on her knees praying for her husband. She knows it's just about time to start in the service. Lovely old mother, she's praying for me. The little boy that his mother died when he was just 2 years old is praying for me. And somehow, when I come in the pulpit, I just feel their prayers will be answered. I know he's near. Let me start this. I will pick it from there next Sunday, God willing. In Thyatira Church Age, Brother Abraham said, it is most worthy of note that the very name Thyatira means dominating female. Thus, this age is characterized by dominant force, a force that ruthlessly invades all, conquers all, and controls. Watch the next statement. A dominating female is the greatest curse in the world. A dominating female is the greatest curse in the world. A woman that is filled with the Holy Ghost, it's not in her to be domineering.
Yes. Amen.
it's not in her to want to rule men. Now, a woman is not made to have iron disposition. If you find that in you, you need to pray God, say, take this out of me. She is, according to the Holy Scripture, to be submissive to the male. Now, I know brothers like this a lot. But let me tell you something. Your wife needs to see something in you. You need to have enough Christ-like character for her to respect that in you. So you cannot live any kind of life and expect her. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to have that Christ-like character. She sees Christ in you. She will want to respect that. And sisters, it's not your position. If you find that your husband is lacking, instead of trying to fight him and trying to mold him, how don't you pray for him? Sometimes we underrate prayers. There is nothing impossible. God one time spoke to Abraham and said, is anything too hard for me? But we are so fast to go the other way, the easy resistance. We are not children of this world. We are from another kingdom. The spirit of this world should not control us. The spirit of the kingdom where we come from should be what is paramount in our life. And that spirit is for a woman to be under subjection to her husband. I know I'm in America, where it's liberty for women. My question has always been, who bound the woman to start with? Genesis, God told her, your desire shall be after your husband, and he shall rule over you. So forget those American spirits. We are not Americans. We are not Africans. We are Christians. Amen. Shall we rise on our feet? Lord Jesus, a few words that I've gone for this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, may you take it into our hearts to help us as we prepare going on in this pilgrim journey. Bless the remaining part of this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.